Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Hundreds of Czech police will help trace people who may have been exposed to COVID-19. Wednesday saw the third highest jump in infection numbers. And Extinction Rebellion blocked the street outside Parliament on Thursday morning. 200 to 250 Czech police officers are going to help public health officials trace people who may have been exposed to the coronavirus. The Minister of the Interior, Jan Hamáček, said his department and the Ministry of Health had agreed on this at a meeting of the Central Crisis Staff on Thursday. Police President Jan Švejnár said the officers would be active throughout the country and would receive training in order to be ready from Friday afternoon or Monday. He said they would take part in this activity on a voluntary basis. 2,932 new cases of COVID-19 were recorded in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, according to official Ministry of Health information. It was the third biggest one-day jump since the start of the pandemic and brings the total number of active cases in the country to around 36,500. Nine more deaths with COVID-19 were recorded on Wednesday for a total of 658 since March. A raft of new measures aimed at containing the virus will take effect on Monday under a 30-day state of emergency. Around 30 activists from the group Extinction Rebellion blocked traffic on Prague's Tunová Street outside the Chamber of Deputies on Thursday morning. The protesters were calling for the government to declare a state of climate emergency and to discuss measures to combat climate change. A day earlier, MPs had approved a state of emergency in view of the COVID situation. The Czech news agency said the activists had earlier tried unsuccessfully to enter the lower house. The police said security had detained 10 people and handed them over to them after they ignored calls to leave the building. Shares on the Czech Stock Exchange have fallen by 23% this year. This makes the Prague Bourse one of the worst performing in the world in the first three quarters of 2020, according to analysts interviewed by the Czech news agency. The best performing company on the Czech Stock Exchange was Avast, which makes computer antivirus programs. Erste Group, a financial services provider, saw its shares lose the most value at 42.7%. The Finale Pilsen Film Festival, which is focused on domestic productions, was won by Let There Be Light, a Slovak-Czech produced drama by Slovak director Marko Škop. The documentary section was won by Solo by Artemio Benki, a French-born producer and director who lived in Prague for decades and died this year. Slavia Prague have failed to reach football's Champions League after a 4-1 away defeat to the Danish side Midtjylland on Wednesday evening. The previous game in the tie had seen a nil-all draw in Prague. The Czech side took the lead early before the Danes equalised on 65 minutes. Midtjylland then went ahead with 6 minutes remaining after a controversial decision to let them take the same penalty twice and went on to score two more goals before the final whistle. Finally, the weather. It should be largely overcast in the Czech Republic on Friday with an average temperature of 19 degrees Celsius. Saturday is expected to be warmer, but skies will also be clouded at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, MPs move to compensate victims of state violence against freedom demonstrators back in August 1969. It's Architecture Day in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. We visit some of the sites. And we also look into how visiting foreign priests are breathing new life into Czech parishes. All that's coming up now, so please do stay tuned. The lower house of parliament approved a proposal on Wednesday to compensate victims of state violence that occurred during the August 1969 demonstrations, marking the first anniversary of the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia. The move highlights the fact that even 30 years after the fall of the communist regime, the country has still not settled with the past. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Exactly a year after the Prague Spring was crushed by the Warsaw Pact invasion in August of 1968, thousands of people took to the streets to protest against their country's occupation by Soviet troops. The subsequent brutal crackdown on demonstrators, this time by their own countrymen, resulted in hundreds of arrests, dozens of injuries, and even five deaths. One of those killed was 18-year-old Danusha Muzikatova, shot on Brno's main square by a member of the People's Militia, the Communist Party's own armed force made up of groups of ordinary workers who were trained to fight for and protect the regime. Jakub Jaresz from the Institute of Contemporary History at the Academy of Sciences says that while their loyalty to the party was much more reliable than that of the soldiers, they were not as well trained as their counterparts in the official security forces.
They were nervous, scared maybe, because the demonstrations threw the stones and it was very violent, these protests. So they started to shoot on the demonstrations, which the soldiers and policemen did not.
The person responsible for Danusha Muzikatova's murder has not been found to this day, but it was her tragic story that led Topo 9 MP Vlastimil Valek to draft the compensation bill, albeit 30 years late. According to official statistics, five people were killed and 31 injured, five of them very seriously in the clashes. However, since some historians assume there was a higher number of victims, the bill provides for compensation of up to 4.5 million Czech crowns. Milan Barta from the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes welcomes the move, despite it being long overdue.
I see it as a recognition of the bravery of those who went out into the streets to protest against the occupation, although they knew the regime would crack down on them. They believed it important to protest against the fact that their homeland would become a vassal state ruled by Moscow.
These people's brave action failed, and the brutal crackdown on demonstrators in August of 1969 heralded a harsh normalization era when the communists purged all reform-minded comrades from their ranks and mercilessly persecuted dissidents of the regime.
Daniela Lazareva reporting. The 10th annual Architecture Day gets underway in the Czech Republic and Slovakia on Thursday, with more than 100 towns and cities taking part this year. Despite its name, the event will actually run for 7 days, offering free guided tours of significant historical landmarks and contemporary buildings, as well as lectures, family workshops, and artistic installations. Ruth Frankova picks up the story.
Nearly 300 events, including guided walks around old factories, hospital compounds, former working-class neighbourhoods, or the urban wilderness, are on the programme of the upcoming Architecture Day. The festival was established in 2010 as a one-day event to mark the International Day of Architecture, but it gradually expanded, explains its director and founder, Marcela Steinbachová.
We originally planned just a one-day event called Day of Architecture, but the first edition stretched into a weekend and then gradually it grew into a week. The towns have also become more involved, with city and town architects taking charge of the guided tours. What has also changed is the way people perceive architecture. It has become more of a community event attended by people who really live in the region and who are interested in what happens in their neighborhood.
The main themes of this year's Architecture Day are social and environmental issues. Many of the guided tours will take place in socially excluded localities, but also around various public buildings, such as hospitals, explains Mrs. Steinbachová.
On Saturday, we're going to visit the compound of the General University Hospital in Prague, and on Sunday there will be a tour focusing on brutalist architecture of the hospital buildings at the city's Karlov district. We will also look into a private clinic in Mladá Boleslav with its authors Martin Rajniš and David Kubík, and we will visit the hospital in Jihlava.
U Mladé Boleslavy, nebo například do nemocnice v Jihlavě.
To highlight the connection between architecture and environment, people can also visit all sorts of ecologically friendly buildings, including the Open Gardens, an educational and advisory centre in Brno, and the Krkonoše Environmental Education Centre Krtek. The festival will also focus on the role of water in urban planning and architecture, says Mrs. Steinbachová.
Several tours will focus on rivers. For example, in Jablonec, there will be a walk down the riverbed highlighting the connection between the river and the town. And in Prague and Ostrava, there will be guided walks along the riverbanks.
As every year, Architecture Day will also mark important anniversaries of renowned Czech architects such as Jaroslav Gočár or Adolf Loos, but it will also highlight buildings designed by young up-and-coming architects. Under the motto "Hooray Inside," people will also have a chance to visit buildings that are usually inaccessible to the public. Due to the coronavirus outbreak, the number of attendants will be limited and many places and events require advance booking. However, since most of the program takes place outside, the organizers believe it will go ahead as planned.
Ruth Trenková with that report. Just a reminder that you're tuned to Radio Prague International, where it's now time for our main feature. There are more than 1,700 Catholic priests serving in parishes around the Czech Republic. Roughly one-fifth of them are foreign-born, and so bring something of their culture and traditions to Czech believers. The exchange is mutually enriching, benefiting both local communities and Czech priests, who tend to be fairly conservative in spreading the word of God. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Emmanuel Onuma was ordained in his home country, Nigeria, and had never been outside of Africa before traveling to the Czech Republic. Today, the 36-year-old priest lives in Plzeň and is studying European culture at the University of Bohemia. On weekends, he serves at the Klatovy parish, helping to celebrate Mass and getting to know the parishioners with a local vicar, Jaroslav Hula. The two have become good friends, despite the fact that communication is difficult. Father Hula speaks only a few words of English, and Emmanuel only speaks English and the tribal language Igbo. He introduces Father Hula as his teacher of Czech. Father Hula laughs off his tutorial skills.
A teacher of Czech who speaks no English, but that makes it all the nicer. We are making friends straight from the heart.
Emmanuel Onuma is here at the invitation of the Plzeň Diocese to gather experiences in Europe. Out to visit the sick in the local parish, they make an unlikely couple. Father Hula is dressed in grey. Father Emmanuel proudly sports a Game of Thrones and Johnny Walker t-shirt.
At 36, I'm still young. I have a lot of young people around me. And some of them are great fans of Game of Thrones. And some of them are great fans of Johnny Walker. So Johnny Walker came together with Game of Thrones to produce that t-shirt. And as a friend of the young people, I got one.
Father Emmanuel's arrival in Klatovy was immediately welcomed by the local community, where the parishioners are driven by curiosity to find out more about him and highly expectant as to what he will bring to the life of the parish. Olga is one of the young parishioners.
I think his presence here will be enriching for the parish. Like a fresh wind, he will bring a new energy to the place. We are looking forward to what he will have to say.
Father Emmanuel is getting used to the fact that most Czechs expect him to break out in song and dance. He says he will be happy to comply if there is interest.
God reveals himself to us in our culture. So the European culture is a solemn culture, very calm culture. The African culture is a dancing culture. That's why we are very energetic in our worship in Africa. But if we find people who are interested in the energetic worship, that's okay. Yeah, we will give it. Yeah, if we find people who are interested, that's okay, that's fine.
So how does Father Hula feel about the possibility of a somewhat livelier mass?
We are open to everything. It depends on how people would take it, but I think they would take it well. I think most people's idea of what goes on in Africa during Mass is a bit exaggerated. We Christians are at home everywhere, and Father Emmanuel is my brother in Christ.
Already, Father Emmanuel has tested the waters, singing a hymn in his mother tongue during Mass to the great enthusiasm of the locals. Although his time in the parish has given him valuable experience and many new friends, most of his time is spent studying. Asked how long he plans to stay, Father Emmanuel replies,
"As a priest, you don't have a plan. Whatever God plans is what you have. So anything God says, the priest follows." Yeah, we trust in God, we follow Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Ya sem cesta, život a pravda.
Another priest from abroad who has served in the Czech Republic for years and enjoys enormous popularity is Zbigniew Czendlik from neighbouring Poland. Father Czendlik is one of many Polish priests serving at Czech parishes to make up for the shortage of priests in the Czech Republic, but he is more visible than most due to his unorthodox, down-to-earth approach and the ease with which he is able to reach out to people in one of the most atheist countries of Europe. He is popular with believers, the general public, and the media. He is invited to talk shows and asked to speak on philosophical, social, and other issues at the center of attention. Asked by Czech Radio during the first wave of the coronavirus crisis what message he would send to the public, Father Czendlik said,
"I have a notice on my parish door stating that it is forbidden to complain or whine. I think we're a bit spoiled in this day and age and find it hard to cope with life's hardships. We Christians are a bit more prepared to handle these situations, I think, because we know that pain, suffering, and even death are an indelible part of life. So I think we need to stop whining about this and that and look on the brighter side of life. I always say we have two eyes so that we can close one to the bad things around us and open the other to look on the good. The situation has sparked so much solidarity, selfless help, and generosity. Look at doctors and nurses working around the clock, or people helping the elderly, bringing them meals, and so on. I think that at the time of the pandemic, we should smile as much as possible at people around us at home, where they can still see it, and outside, where despite our face masks, we can smile with our eyes." Father Zbigniew Czendlik, a Catholic priest from Poland, ending that feature by Daniela Lazarova. That also brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. You can find the full broadcast on Radio Prague International's website. That's at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments in the meantime, please do get in touch. We'd be very glad to hear from you. Our email address is english@radio.cz. For me, Brian Kennedy, and everyone in the studio, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.